Today again, and I think we all know him. Glad to have him back. I want to remind you about something important. There's another worship opportunity tomorrow, New Year's Day, at 8 o'clock. We'll be worshiping in the chapel, and after that, there's a congregational breakfast in the fellowship hall. So if you can, please come to that and get your New Year started off right. Does anyone have any other announcements that need to be made? Well, let's worship God. Please join me in the call to worship. To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. A time to throw away. A time for silence and a time to speak. Embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to break down and a time to build up. Laugh and a time to weep. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to gain and a time to lose. A time to die and a time to live. And these are select verses from Ecclesiastes chapter 3.
Let's join in singing, "Come, All Christians, Be Committed."
Let us put off, concerning our former conduct, the old self which grows corrupt according to deceit and lust. Instead, let us be renewed in the spirit of our minds, and put on the new man which was created according to God, in true righteousness and holiness. Let us now confess together unto our God. This is a time for confession. Now join me in this. Lord, God of heaven and earth, our Creator and He who numbers our days, we give You thanks for the past year. There have been good and bad, times of plenty and times of struggle, but in it all, we know that You are God and You are all-powerful. We give You thanks and praise unto You, because unto You all praise is due. As we lean into 2024, we feel both optimism and the... about things that we have no control over. We worry instead of praying, and we strive instead of trusting You. His guilty are we are for relying more upon ourselves than upon You. Forgive our faithlessness and establish in your steadfast promise. In all things, You are present and ever able to supply all of our needs. We believe You and we praise You, O God of eternity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Beloved of God, as a bridegroom decks himself with a garland, as a bride adorns herself with her jewels, God covers us with the robe of righteousness. Know that you are forgiven in Jesus Christ and live in God's live as God's beloved. Thanks be to God. Time for the passing of the peace. Please greet those around you and pass the peace of Jesus Christ with them.
Peace, sister.
Something isn't right. I got to
work at
home. That's
all right. That's all right. We're going to worship anyway.
I know. I just hate people online are missing out. Please leave this first chair for me. I got something. I still can't get it here. Together and ask for illumination upon today's message and the word
Heavenly Father,
provider, maker, creator, giver of all good things, Lord, lean down upon us this morning, your presence, O God. Stir up your spirit within me, within each one of us, that together as we look at your words, we may consider their meaning unto us this morning, and we may hear through your Holy Spirit those things that you prepared in my heart. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord my God, our rock and our Redeemer. In Jesus' name I ask these things. Amen. So good to be back here with you this morning. Today's lectionary passage comes from the Gospel of Luke, the second chapter. If you'd like, you look at your pew Bibles and look this up. But let us hear together the word of the Lord. Now when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were completed, they brought him, Jesus, to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who opens the womb shall be called holy to God. And to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came, led by the Spirit, into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, Simeon took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory of your people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of Jesus. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Now there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age, and had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity. And this woman was a widow of about 84 years old, who did not leave the temple, but served God with fasting and prayers day and night. And coming in that very instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him to all those who looked for redemption in Israel. The word of God for the people of God. Amen. I loved having a scripture to look at and think about because this is a story, but it's an account also, and there is a lot packed into these, 15, 16 verses. So I named my sermon, as you saw, what did I name my sermon? The End and the Beginning. Because here we are at the end of a year, and we're poised in just a short little while here, 24 hours or so? No, not. Yeah? Just a little over 24, 30 hours to a new year. Boy, what happened to 23, right? But boy, what has happened in 2023? And as I'm speaking, I'm hoping that all of you will be thinking about what God has done for you this past year. And not apprehensive, but excited about what's coming next year. We're called to live for each and every day and just to live in the moment. But somehow in our celebration of years, We like to look back at the end of a year and just think about what's happened. Not that it has much to do with this, but I don't know about you all. Sometimes I'll watch the news at night, and the news just night before last played a pictograph of all those who had left us this past year, all those who've gone ahead of us in death to the next life. And I was amazed by the number of people. They played a song at the beginning, and it was going to be a long song, and I thought, well, there's not going to be that many people they're going to show. But my goodness, we lost a lot. As a matter of fact, we have a worshiper with us this morning who lost her husband 2 weeks ago today. And I understand we've been praying for you, Gail, but we just want to say again that our hearts grieve with you on the loss of your husband. But let's take a look at our scene. This described by Luke. Luke is such a descriptive writer. He's so thorough in his research. And he uses, being a Gentile, Luke really paid a lot of attention to specifics. And so we start the story out finding out that little Jesus, born just 8 days ago, and actually it's a little longer than that. He's about 6 weeks old in this passage, and I'll explain that in a moment. But Luke goes into the detail of telling us that Jesus had been circumcised as a lawful form, and that his name was called Jesus. If you remember, in the Jewish tradition, on the eighth day, it was also the naming day. And the parents didn't name Jesus based on their choice. Remember, the angel Gabriel had told Mary way back when, you're going to call this baby Jesus. The name given to him by the angel before he was even conceived. And then we have this statement Luke gives us. Now, when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were completed, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. These days of purification come from way back in Leviticus. It's Levitical law that described after a birth that a woman was to wait for a ceremonial purification of about 40 days. So that's how I get that Jesus is probably a little more than a month old. This is still a tiny baby. That every male who opens the womb shall be called holy unto the Lord. I wonder how many here are firstborn. There's a significance there, not only for firstborn, but if you're firstborn male. And, you know, when I realized that, I began to see maybe that's a part of the calling that God has upon my life. I was firstborn. And to offer a sacrifice to the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. You know, so much has happened in this young couple's life, Mary and Joseph, as they approach this temple this morning. There's so much that we should think about. First of all, their journey to Jerusalem to start with. Where did they come from this morning? My guess is they probably still had some type of a residency in Bethlehem. It was only a few miles from here. So they probably came to church, if you will, to temple worship this morning. Probably rode the same donkey that carried them from Nazareth to Bethlehem in the first place. And also, I don't know if they were still staying in the place where Jesus was born or if maybe there had been some room made in the inns. We don't get that detail. But I just want you to think about these two. Really, Mary was probably a teenager, we think. Joseph is guessed to have been in his 30s. But this couple didn't pack any clothes with them when they came from Nazareth. All they most likely had was what they were wearing. So I don't know how they appeared, but chances are good that they looked poor, which would explain why Luke finds out that they probably had a pair of doves with them. I don't know how they purchased those doves. Certainly they didn't bring them with them from Jerusalem or from Nazareth. But these two, this young couple, probably very modestly dressed, come into the temple. Now, at the point where we see this meeting with Simeon, they're actually in the outside court of the temple. The temple that Herod had built. It was larger than what the temple was like at the time of the Levitical writings, when it was just in a tent of meeting. So this was kind of a fancy place. This couple probably stood out a little bit with this tiny little baby, a month old. And they've barely walked into the court when Simeon, this excited man who had been there, the Holy Spirit had led him there, Simeon walks up to Mary. She doesn't know him. I don't know if he asked her, but he takes Jesus out of her arms and he holds him up unto the Lord, and he begins this exclamation of praise in this little liturgy of a song, because the way it's written in Scripture, it's written like it's a song. And he sings this unto the Lord. So I want you to think for a minute that you're Joseph, men, and somebody's grabbing your infant from your wife's arms and holding him up. I mean, this must have been startling. So these thoughts came into my mind. But the things that Simeon said, and by the way, Simeon is filled with the Holy Spirit. We don't read about a lot of people filled with the Holy Spirit before Pentecost. But the Spirit had a special mission for this man, and it was to wait and strive. It sounds like he was older. We don't know how old he was. Perhaps he was not well because of the words he says. You promised me that before I would die, I would see your salvation. He refers to Jesus as a means by which God would accomplish something, more so than a child. You have prepared this child in the face of all peoples for a light of revelation unto the Gentiles. Unto the Gentiles? I mean, this is a Jew, and he's announcing his first pronouncement upon Jesus as someone who would bring light to the Gentiles. They're in the temple. There must not have been many people present. And by the way, I wonder who the priest was on duty that day. He probably wasn't in that outer court where they were, but still, don't you wonder who that might have been? Another thing that occurred to me as I looked at this was, do you remember in Matthew's account that once Herod, who had this temple built, heard about the star and the Magi visited him and said, we want to know where the baby is. And Herod goes rather, oh, well, so do I. But Herod and all of Jerusalem was upset by what they heard. This was only a month away from what was happening today. So here they were in the very midst of Jerusalem, in the temple that Herod had built. And Herod, who is looking for Jesus, has no idea that he's there. I think that's a miracle in and of itself. Or perhaps that says how distant Herod was, really, from God. He wasn't at the temple. So God has provided for Mary and Joseph in the midst of this really unsafe environment that exists, because Herod wants to kill the baby Jesus and later does kill many children in that area, but Herod's unaware. Joseph and Mary, his mother, marveled at those things which were spoken of Jesus. Well, I guess so. Again, place yourself as a couple with a little infant in a setting like this, and imagine this pronouncement that was made, probably with a loud voice. Then Simeon blessed them. And my guess is he probably walked back over to Mary with the baby and placed him back in her arms and looked into her eyes. And in this moment, the Holy Spirit is really speaking directly to Mary, because Simeon is just a vessel. Behold, this child is destined. There's a destiny here. For the fall and rising of many in Israel. The fall and rising. And a sign which will be spoken against. In other words, he's beginning to give her some revelation of a warning in her expectation. Mary had known nothing but excitement, really, from the time that she found out she was pregnant, to going to Elizabeth's house and finding out Elizabeth was pregnant, and then dealing with all the repercussions of being pregnant outside of wedlock because they weren't married yet. Just imagine this young woman, this really young girl, and the things that were running through her heart and racing through her mind. And this man, this stranger, has just taken her child and held him up and blessed him and made a pronouncement. And now he's saying to her, your son's going to be a sign. It's not necessarily good. And yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul, comma, also. So he's really revealing to her through the Holy Spirit, God is reminding Mary, your son's growing up to be an offering. A sword will pierce his soul. Why? That the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. What was revealed in your heart when you met Jesus, I wonder? Just think about that a little bit. So these two, especially Mary, has just been confronted in the midst of the joy of dedicating her son this morning. And by the way, that circumcision that we spoke of earlier happened on the eighth day of life for Jesus. And this is the sixth week or so of his life, and now he's there for the dedication and also for Mary's purification ceremony. So there's much going on. Probably, I would imagine, when they came into God's house that morning, they probably had many different thoughts about what was going to happen while they were there. I'm sure they were thankful for what had occurred during the birth. Remember that moment of time when Mary realized she was going to deliver on the back of that mule or that donkey, what she was feeling and how urgent the matter was of finding a place and then there being no place. And so Joseph, having to be very resourceful, did many of you see the movie The Nativity, I wonder? It's an excellent, excellent movie, probably very biblically representative of what happened. But in that movie, it depicts the moments that Mary realizes that she's going to give birth soon, and Joseph, with his staff in hand, running from door to door, trying to find someone to let them in, to give them a room, and then not being able to find that and having to settle for, I guess you could say, the barn. What they must have thought about in those days after that birth, the star, the shepherds coming up, the Magi visiting. We don't know if that's happened yet, but it appears that it has happened. So many things. The angels singing. The grand spectacle of that night. Just how did it affect this young couple? And so this is all fresh in their mind. It's happened in the last few weeks. They're walking into the temple. They think it's going to be a quiet little ceremony. And then Simeon. And so there's just, I can't even begin to feel the overwhelming sensation that these two must have felt. And also the thanksgiving in their heart as it was confirmed to them what this child, what Jesus meant. Now this has happened and Simeon perhaps is still in the room. Maybe he's walked out. Maybe they've now walked into the temple itself from the outer court. But inside there's this incredible woman, Anna. Anna, as it is written, is a form of Hannah, by the way. You remember Hannah's story with Samuel and how she couldn't have a child and God let her bear. And when Samuel was a baby, she took him back to Eli to dedicate him unto the Lord. So this Anna, a prophetess, that's very substantial. There's only about four prophetess mentioned in Scripture. The daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. Nothing really noteworthy to me there. We know Asher was one of the children of Jacob. But she was of great age, in her 80s. A widow, but who did not depart from the temple. Some of my Bible notes say that there's perhaps a chance that Herod had built some small furnished rooms within the outer courts of the temple where priests could stay or perhaps special worshipers or someone who had some ceremonial duty at the temple. but she never left the temple. This woman's incredibly dedicated to the Lord and served Him with fasting and prayers night and day. Parentheses, prayer warrior. She was a very special lady. It actually occurred to me when I thought about this, how God perhaps even used her to set up the safety net that morning so that none of Herod's people or soldiers or anyone ran back and said, "Hey, Jesus is here. He's right here, the guy, the child that you've been looking for." I think that perhaps that was because of Anna. I don't know that for a fact, but it makes sense, doesn't it? She came in the very instant, it sounds like, that they walked into the temple from the outer court. So the timing was impeccable. And they heard her because Mary had to have recanted this event to Luke so that he could write it. Who else was present there that Luke would be able to talk to? Coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord. Just imagine the joy in her heart as she realized, the God I serve, this is His Son that's here this morning. Luke goes on a little bit further after that and says the family returns to Nazareth. Now, that doesn't quite fit with Matthew's account, where the story of Joseph having the revelation in his mind through another dream that he needed to take Jesus and Mary to Egypt to flee Herod. So, although that doesn't quite perfectly fit, my estimation of what I'm reading is that in the midst of their return to Nazareth, they go to Egypt. But nonetheless, it describes when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord. Very important there, because Jesus had to fulfill every part of the law in order to be obedient to the law. Because God is a legal God, if you think about it. God has prescribed things that have to occur for us to know Him and to be able to relate to Him. He leans down and gives us an inclination when we're lost, that we are lost, convicts our hearts, uses His Spirit to draw us into Himself, and then that very Spirit, in a way, marries us and lives inside of us and holds us in safety, in suspension, if you will, during this life, prepares us to meet the Father when we die. So, the Holy Spirit has a special job, as I love to say, but yet what's occurring in Jesus' life has to match the same things that you and I encounter in our lives. How does all this fit into the end and the beginning? Well, if I talked about it like God revealed it to me, I would say that this episode in the chapter of Joseph and Mary's life was the end of who they were. After that moment, it became why they were. Their support, their protection, their upbringing of Jesus. They had had an incredible journey up to this moment in time. It was kind of the end of the beginning, if you will, because now they go back to Nazareth and they just become parents again. And Jesus becomes just another child for a while, because there's no mention until he's 12 of anything that happens in his life in the Holy Scriptures. So it tells me that everything sort of went back to normal, even though they had had all these wonderful, incredible things. I could compare that to my life, and you probably can too, in perhaps some part of your life that was exceptionally exciting, very event-filled. Maybe it was your early life as a Christian. Maybe it was your upbringing as a child. Maybe it's been what's happened this past year. Perhaps it's been some wonderful, exciting things. And all of a sudden you come back to the reality that, well, I got to go back to just being who I am now and life as what I've been used to. whether that's retirement or work, or whether that's caregiving, or whether that's education for younger people. But it was a time of reflection, I think. I would imagine that as they walked on their way back to Nazareth, they talked about what had happened and they reflected on it. And they probably wondered about, this has just been an incredible year for us. And it had been about a year since Mary found out she was pregnant. And all of these wonderful things that we've talked about during the Christmas season occurred. It had a lot packed into that year. And they look back at that and they probably wondered, perhaps were a little bit apprehensive about what was to come in the next year. That compares for me and for you. What do you do on New Year's Eve that's special? Is there some tradition that you might have other than shooting firecrackers off? Maybe you gather with family. Some people may journal about what's happened the past year. Others may look at the photographs of what's transpired. Everyone has a different way of doing it. But personally, I like to, on New Year's Eve, just think about what God has done in my life the past year. And perhaps if there's something that is really affecting me, to pray over that. But specifically, I want to dedicate myself to God for the next year. Because if my life continues like yours does, my inclination is to just allow things to go on like they will, to let days happen as they will. Instead of being proactive and prayerful, and specifically starting my day with Scripture and prayer. But God offers us a reset, if you will, I think. Just like when we go to bed at night and we sort of close the book, so to speak, on the day and our eyes open the next morning and we begin to think about what's coming and what we need to do. It's a reset, isn't it? I think God has impressed us probably from the time He inspired the creation of the calendar, for us to recognize, just as the Jews did, the new and the old moon. And to restart, to rededicate. On that new moon, the Jewish people would rededicate themselves to the Lord. Somehow in our tradition, in our history, the calendar changed just a little bit. And we don't go by the moons anymore. We go by the months and the days of the week. But it's substantial because it allows us, if you think about it, to organize our lives just as our work week starts on Monday and ends on Friday. Our life is marked by years. Some people say rides around the sun. But how many do I have? What am I going to do with this year that's different? How am I going to change if I desire to change? I've tried to change, y'all. And in some things I can. I can change my diet. I can change what I wear. I can change the way I speak, perhaps. But how am I really changed? The Word of God is what changes me because it directs my ways and leads my path. And so, the end of the year, this new beginning that we're getting an opportunity for, what does your year hold, I wonder? We don't know, but God does. Just as God prepared all of these happenings that we read about in the life of Jesus in His preparation, God has prepared for you something in this coming year. Something good. And some challenges, just like the Ecclesiastes passages that we read. There's a time for everything. What is it for us that God has planned? Do you want to know? Are you interested? Or are you just interested in just letting things happen? I think that there's no real wrong there in just living life. But what kind of life would it be if it wasn't guided by the one who created you and gave you the distinctive differences in your personalities and the gifts that He's given you? And yes, has allowed you to have the burdens and the challenges. And yes, we have to go through life trying to work our way through getting enough money to live and buy food and buy a place to stay and pay for our clothes and keep our health and maintain ourselves. But certainly there's more to life than that, right? When I came in this morning, I heard about the bomb threat and the disruption that was caused by that. But then Marvin told me about the speaker that he found and how special her message was. And I thought, you had all that planned out. There was no surprise for him. He knew that this joker was going to make this threat. Why do people do that, by the way? It's just a disruption. Remember that we battle not against people, against the spirit of the evil one. That he's the one that disrupts things. And he's the one who tries to upset. And he's the one who tries to draw us away from God. That alone, along with the fix that God provided, is a little microcosm of what our days can be like and what our year holds. The enemy is at work, but who is he? He is nothing. Not in the face of our God and the Spirit who lives within us. That Spirit reveals what should happen to us in our lives each day. That Spirit reveals to us, the Holy Spirit, what the plan of God is for our life each moment of every hour of each day in this coming year. The only question is whether or not you will ask God to open your eyes and to reveal to your spirit and to prepare you for each day of the new year. And so I advocate by the Spirit of God to you now to dedicate yourselves just as Jesus was dedicated that day so long ago, and the special people that were involved in that dedication, and the things that they did in their lives that enabled them to even be there on that morning, that those are examples for us to realize that we must strive as well to own up to our shortcomings unto God as we do in confession, to ask His forgiveness, and then to ask for the presence of His Spirit in us to be refreshed and renewed, and to charge us and prepare us that we might go forward propelled into the day, as opposed to just waiting for things to happen, propelled, led by God, each step that we take, prepared by the Word. The Spirit of God reveals into our hearts. Life is hard. There are many of us today who know that have lost loved ones in this past year. Life is challenging. It seems like on the way over here, the dash on my car went, just flickered and did some weird things. And I thought, not something else. But what is that? That's nothing. These challenges come to us. We have these small little pitfalls that we have to deal with. But what are they to our God? Nothing. Eternity waits. There's going to be the endless day that will open up to our eyes one day when we pass through this life. But until that day, we're offered by God the direction of His Word that, as David said of old, "Let thy word be a light to my feet, a lamp unto my path." Use the opportunities that God gives you, people of God. Don't take lightly each day. Don't look at it with dread or with boredom. Look at it with optimism. Look at it knowing that there's an opportunity today that God's going to give you tomorrow in each of the 365 days that come. He has prepared, just like He did for the Israelites, manna, spiritual manna, if you will. And He wants to fill you with joy. These people were filled with joy, Hannah and Simeon, and all the work that they had done, all the years of their lives, weren't wasted. that one special day was God's reward to them, to let them see and hold, one of the few people to hold the baby Jesus was Simeon. You hold him in your heart. He lives inside of you. Remember to listen to his voice. And so, as day 365 comes tomorrow, just take a moment to thank God for what he's done this past year and ask him, how could he use you in the year to come? And commit yourself to him. Commit your ways unto the Lord. These all sound like things that you've heard many times, I know. But tomorrow is a very special day. And so let's remember that, just like this day of the dedication of our Lord, let tomorrow be a day like that. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, may the blessings of our Lord be upon you. Lord, it's always exciting to look at your Word and to allow your Spirit to just reveal things to us, to me. Heavenly Father, my prayer for your people, God, is that you would renew within them a desire to be excited about the privilege of being your child. And also to remind them that you have a responsibility to us, Father, because your word promises that each day our experience is new mercies from you. That each day we can be assured that your grace is present. And that each day, whatever we need, whether it be money or food or shelter or comfort or healing, whatever we need avails itself just waiting for us. So may your blessings be upon your people today, Heavenly Father, in this church. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
If you would stand as you are able to join in singing, I Surrender All.
Thank you.
You may be seated. We obviously don't receive the tithes and offerings. They've already been given. And so let us now pray and ask God's blessings upon the giver and the gifts. Lord, you have heard and you see the hearts of each one of us. We give you thanks, Father, for all your blessings this past year, for all that you provided for us, for the many ways that we really need to stop and consider if we were to look at each day and just see what you did in that day to keep us safe and to provide us. Thank you, Heavenly Father. And Heavenly Father, thank you for the means by which you provide for the sustenance of your church through each one here. And so, Heavenly Father, please bless the givers, O God, and the gifts that they have offered to you, whether they be in money or in offering of time or service to your church. Lord, give them a blessing, I pray, and bless what they've given to you, and guide and direct the ministry of this church. And as you move with us through this coming year, Lord, I ask your blessings upon the ministry of this church, upon the food pantry, and upon the efforts and prayers of the prayer team, God, and upon those who knit and those who do so many things that I don't even know about, Lord. Bless them and guide and direct them. Heavenly Father, these thoughts and prayers we ask that you consider and remember. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll now stand and affirm our faith in God through the ancient creed called the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits on the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. And now I refer you to our prayer list and ask you to kindly review the names of the many who are on the list. And also now, if you would like to add or make note of some of the circumstances, perhaps, or tell us about a joy. We have the microphone ready. Well, it would appear that everyone is known about. If anybody wants an opportunity, I had the honor of meeting Gail this morning and talking with her for a moment about the passing of Rick. And so, Gail, as I told you, I'm sure many in this church are praying for you. Indeed, the prayer team leader spoke with me and assured me of that as well. There are some names that are highlighted. I don't know the circumstances. Jonathan Asprey, I think I remember talking about that 2 weeks ago, I believe. And then also John Barber was added 2 weeks ago as well, or had been on here for a while. Is that correct? And then Polly Frost. Someone tell me about Polly.
She died.
Okay.
Battling COVID, a broken hip, and
last week she gave up to it, and now she's all well.
Yes. So she has family, though.
Yes.
So we want to be in prayer for Polly's family as well as Gail's family. And then Abel Rogers, sixth grade class and students. Teacher died in an accident. Kathy was her name. Is that correct? Kathy Rogers? Or Kathy Rogers added her? Okay. Car accidents. Let us also remember those who are homebound.
I want to add my sister and her husband, Lynn and Rob. They're going to be traveling again to come and be here for winter months. So they're having issues with their mobile home. They have to get rectified the first part of the week again. It's a repeat of last year. It's like, really? But they are coming eventually this week, and I just pray for safe travel to them, and they will be joining us for worship while they're here in tomorrow.
Very good.
With Linda and Rob Garner.
Thank you.
I would like to add to David, and I spoke to Gail Skinner last night. She asked that we get out a friend Trent to the prayer list. He will be getting a liver transplant.
Ooh. Okay, very good. Thank you. Let us approach the throne of grace as we pray for others and for the many on our list. Heavenly Father, thank you that you hear our prayers. Thank you, O God, that you promise that you do hear them. That we just don't speak things in vain or in hope, but that we know through the power of your Spirit, God, and the movement of your hands, Lord, the actions and deeds that you perform when we ask. Sometimes we don't see the things that you do, Heavenly Father. Other times it's plain and clear. And so, Lord, for the many names that are on this list, we ask your presence in their lives. We ask your healing hand, God, upon the many who are sick. Lord, we ask the encouragement of your Spirit upon those who are hurting emotionally. We ask, God, the movement of those who you call upon now as I pray, to be a help and aid to those who are in trouble and need. Lord, we pray for your safety upon the travelers. There are so many, God, moving about this country now, in the air, in cars, on bikes and motorcycles, in boats. But sometimes we think that we need to remind you of these things, but you're ever aware of everything, even every thought, of every person who lives and breathes right now. But you give us the privilege of reminding you specific people, God. And so that's the purpose of our prayers this morning, that your will would be done in the lives of each one of these, that somehow something special would happen, God, that would touch lives of all these people who are mentioned. God, we don't know how you work, but we know that you do. And so, Lord, we implore you by your Holy Spirit right now to work in the lives of each one of these names, especially those that have been added recently, the Jonathan Asprey, John Barber, the family of Polly Frost, the family of Tom Norwood and friends, the family of Gail, O Lord. Lord, forgive your servant, because sometimes I don't even know what to say. But your Holy Spirit that's inside of me prays in a way that I can't understand. And so, Holy Spirit, Have your way with my thoughts, God, and have your way with the prayers of each one of the people in this congregation this morning, for you've appointed this time. And Lord, I ask these things in the name of your Son, who we celebrate today as coming to live and to die for our sins, that we might have a relationship with you. And so we pray for the revival, God, in each of these people on the prayer list, that they would be reminded that you are in control and of your great love through your Son, Jesus Christ, for them and for the matters in their lives. And now we recite the prayer your Son taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And I'm sorry. So we'll now receive the tithes and offerings. Forgive me for blotching our order here this morning. I'm pretty good at that, by the way. Lord, once again, we dedicate unto you ourselves and our lives. As we've given our offering, Lord, we ask your blessings upon it. These things I say and ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let us sing, O Jesus, I Have Promised.
Thank you.
Good people of Swift, who are you? May the Lord lead you into this coming year and bless you and keep you. In Jesus' name I ask it. Amen.